time has come. Tell you how I feel. The time has come, baby. I wanna tell you how I feel. Listen, my emotions running wild. I don't think my heart will ever heal. Listen now, you took all of my money. You got the keys to the new car. Now you're talking about going on the other side of town. I guess you'd be out there just riding some of your dudes around. But let me tell you something. You need to come over and sit down and talk to Big Daddy, because hey, that don't happen. I'm gonna tell you like it is, girl. Listen. Bring your fine self over here and sit down on my bed. I just wanna talk to you, baby, and tell you how I feel. And look, you're looking so good and fine and stuff. And I like that little short dress you got on, too. Oh, my goodness. Makes me want to holler sometime, girl. Come here. I love what you're doing, what you're doing, what you're doing. Girl, you better stop that. Oh, I love the way you put your body. I don't want you to shake it, though. You might break it. That means that big feet have to fix it, too. Oh, you gonna give me my keys back? I appreciate that, honey. I see you done laid down my money, though. You can always come back and get a little bit if you need it. I mean, hey, Big Dad might be fussing with it, but he still love you. I mean, hey, we talk about it later. Okay, baby. Tell you like it is. Okay.
Well, here we are, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. You know, if I said to you the phrase bleach blonde, bad built, butch body, you might assume that it was part of either, I don't know, an old episode of Jerry Springer or maybe some kind of satirical show. But It's actually a phrase that was uttered during a congressional hearing, and it was a reference to radical and repugnant reactionary Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene after Greene invoked the physical appearance of Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett and referring to her fake eyelashes. And there's a couple of important points that I think need to be made here, the biggest of which is about the degrading and debasing of the political discourse, of which both Democrats and Republicans are a part, I think it should be said, but primarily driven by the race to the bottom that has been MAGA Trumpism. So let's start, I don't know, I guess at the beginning, because there's no better place to start. Axios has a little write-up about what happened. Taylor Greene and Crockett's personal appearance fallout spills into a fourth day. And it explains how there were hearings about during which a lot of the focus and discussion became physical appearance. I'll play the beginning for you here, which is where Marjorie Taylor Greene refers to the alleged fake eyelashes of Jasmine Crockett as getting in the way of her being able to see what's going on. And then you may also hear someone in the background say, is that a porn star? And I think that that might have been Congressman Goldman, although I'm not totally sure.
I'd like to know if any of the Democrats on this committee are employing Judge Mershon's daughter.
Please tell me what that has to do with Merrick Garland.
Is she a porn star?
Oh, Goldman. That's right. He's advising. Okay.
He's advising who? What? Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're here for.
Well, you're the one talking about.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hey, hold on.
Order. Okay, so not that we need to referee this childish spat, but this was the opening of the door to comments about physical appearance. Okay, so now a lot of people go low during this, some in more humorous ways than others. But this is objectively the start of the physical appearance barbs.
Mr. Chairman,
that's beneath even
order,
your
order, the order of your you. Committee.
Order.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable.
So this is now AOC.
Well, how dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Oh, girl,
baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play,
baby girl.
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
So who will have to pay? Okay. Ms. Green agrees to strike her words.
I believe she needs to apologize. No. Order.
Okay, so this was the initial thing. And then sort of like an indirect thing from Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, who asked a hypothetical question. Would you be allowed to say that someone has a bleach blonde, bad built butch body, which, of course, refers to I'm trying to be like a sort of fair describer. It's a reference, if you're not familiar, to Marjorie Taylor Greene's physical appearance, which I guess comes at the hands of some combination of genetics and CrossFit. I don't know. But this is the way that Jasmine Crockett, obviously she's referring to Marjorie Taylor Greene, but posing it as a hypothetical.
Ms. Greene, for 4 minutes and 21 seconds.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Who's?
It's me.
Ms. Crockett.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
Chairman, I make a motion to strike those words.
I don't think that's a parliament.
I'm trying to find clarification on what.
It's like what words? It's a point of order. That's the funny part about it.
Chairman, motion to strike those words.
I had no idea what you just said.
We're not gonna do this. Look, you guys. Earlier, literally just
you just voted to do it.
I'm trying to get clarification.
Look at, calm down.
No, because this is what y'all do.
Crockett, you're not recognized.
All right. So anyway, the point here was this was an attack on Marjorie Taylor Greene's physical appearance. It is childish. It's certainly far more clever than referring to fake eyelashes, I will tell you. So there is a bigger point that I want to make here, and it's a serious point. But before doing that, just to follow this through the hilarity that it is, I actually decided to produce a song about this because the phrase bleach blonde, bad built butch body is so alliterative and perfect from a artistic standpoint.
I produced a little song over the weekend. It's called Bleach Blonde Bad Built Butch Body. Let me play it for you. This is debuting now. This is serious now. We created this over the weekend. Take a listen.
Marjorie, you're sad to see with your bleach blonde hair,
Stick with it.
You try to be, but your body don't match. Oh, it's out of key. You're a bad built butch bombshell. What I wanna be. Marjorie.
Yep.
You like to think you fly. What's your fashion sense, girl? It's an override. You strut the streets like you on the sky. But your style's a mess. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Bleach blonde, bad built, butch body.
Right.
Marjorie, oh Marjorie.
Okay, so so that could be the song of the summer. I think that it, down in Aruba and the U.S. Virgin Islands, British Virgin Islands, on all of the little waterfront bars, that's what they're going to be listening to. So listen, on both sides, personal attacks like these represent the degradation of political discourse. And when lawmakers resort to childish insults during hearings paid for by my tax money and your tax money, rather than substantive debate, it's bad. At the same time, we shouldn't both sides this thing, because the reason we got here, the reason we have fake eyelashes and butch bodies distracting from the real issues, in part, is the degree to which MAGA Trumpism has gotten us away from real issues. And case in point, at the hearing, even before the eyelash butch body stuff started, Marjorie Taylor Greene was asking, does anyone on the committee employ Judge Juan Merchan's daughter? That's the judge in the Trump criminal trial who judge says and conflicted. And she's being Trump's lapdog by going out and suggesting the very things Trump was told to stop saying because of the gag order. So even the presence of Marjorie Taylor Greene there is really the degradation. Now, if we want to play it down the middle, you can argue what Jasmine Crockett did, albeit much more clever, is also going down, going low. OK, and I would be there with you to say that that's true to some degree. But we have gotten completely off base here with regard to exchanges that distract from the real issues. We should be focusing on policy, and the mere presence of MAGA Trumpism in our political system is the main problem. Can you say Jasmine Crockett deserves some blame for what she did? Sure. But she's really only stooping down to where Marjorie Taylor Greene pulled her. And at the end of the day, it was just a point of order. It was a hypothetical question. If someone were to say something like bad built, bleach blonde, butch body, would that be a problem given what Marjorie Taylor Greene said is apparently OK? Ugly stuff, but it's MAGA that pulled us down there. All right. What sort of injection could President Joe Biden be getting to hide his dementia? That's the medical question we will seek to answer in this segment. And I believe that it is time to do this because these right wingers just won't stop. Here's yet another example of Congressman Byron Donalds, a Trump loving Republican on Fox News, completely baselessly, recklessly suggesting to Maria Bartiromo that Joe Biden is getting injections to appear coherent. Let's take this seriously for a moment. Here's what Byron Donalds had to say. Then I'll tell you what the truth of the matter is.
Okay, so what did you see when you were at the State of the Union? You heard what your colleague Greg Murphy said. He's the head of the Doctors Caucus. He says, quote, Joe Biden was jacked up. Now you've got President Trump saying he wants drug testing. Should there be drug testing before these debates?
Marie, I'll tell you, I absolutely agree with that. There should. You could tell that Joe Biden comes in, he's jacked up, and then as the hour goes by, he slowly winds down. So the American people need to understand if they're giving him some injection so that he can actually look like he's coherent and he's with us.
All right. So that's the allegation without evidence. He's jacked up, and then during an hour period, he winds down. And we need to know what sort of injection he might be getting. Now, first of all, slowly winding down is kind of normal, right? Like, as speeches and days go on, you get tired. It's not a crazy smoking gun if after a 90-minute speech, your energy is lower than at the beginning of a 90-minute speech. But let's put that aside for a second. There aren't an unlimited number of substances that could be given to Joe Biden. Now, put aside for a second that many of these would be taken orally. They wouldn't even be injected. Let's just generally talk about what could Joe Biden be receiving. Stimulants, right? You've got your Adderall and your Ritalin and drugs typically prescribed for ADHD. They increase alertness. Sometimes they're used for study drugs in college. They increase attention. They increase an energy level. They last 4 to 6 hours. Adderall's 4 to 6 hours. Ritalin's 3 to 5. So even if Joe Biden were taking such a stimulant, there's no reason that after a 60 or 90 minute speech, it would be wearing off because they last 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. In addition, stimulants don't improve cognitive function in people with dementia. So, all right. So the idea is stimulants. Also, I don't know why it would be injected. You normally take these orally. Doesn't make any sense. And by the way, you risk anxiety and agitation because in a lot of people, these drugs generate a sense of anxiety, agitation and jitteriness. So you risk Joe Biden actually coming off less coherent if the point is you're trying to make him more coherent. So, OK, the stimulants, not a likely candidate. What about nootropics? Nootropics like modafinil. Nootropics are substances that claim to enhance cognitive function like executive function or creativity. Usually those last 12 to 15 hours. There's no reason it would wear off during an hour the way Byron Donalds is suggesting. And again, nootropics don't address underlying dementia pathology if that's what you're trying to cover with a nootropic. They can't conceal or reverse the sort of cognitive deficits that they claim Biden has. You then have, I hope I pronounced this correctly, it's cholinesterase inhibitors. These are drugs like donepezil and rivastigmine. I'm sure these are abortive pronunciations, but these are often prescribed to manage symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. They have very long half-lives. Donepezil has a half-life of 70 hours. One of the other ones is 10 hours. So these effects last a really long time, but they're extremely mild. They wouldn't jack you up with the energy that they claim Joe Biden is jacked up on. And then beyond this, we're in like super speculative stuff, you know, like the bottom. What about ginkgo biloba stuff that's not at all proven, antipsychotics, which wouldn't improve cognitive function? So the most plausible thing is coffee. Is coffee the cognitive smoking gun now? We're banking on coffee being the dementia hiding super drug that is being injected so that you jack up Joe Biden. And of course, the effects of caffeine usually start 15, 20 minutes after consumption. They can last 3 to 5 hours. The half-life is like 5 hours. And usually the peak effects last 1 or 2 hours. Caffeine doesn't impact cognitive impairments caused by dementia. Caffeine temporarily causes an increase in alertness and can make you feel less tired. So the bottom line here is, even if we want to seriously deal with what they are suggesting without evidence, that Joe Biden is being injected with something, there really isn't a something that would do what they say it is doing. So it's time for them to stop the reckless speculation. We should look at what the actual mental health experts are saying, and they've been very clear. Donald Trump's behavior is far more disturbing than Joe Biden's when it comes to cognitive state. Monday is Memorial Day. We are doing our first of the year and first of the new website membership drive. We want to set the single day record for new members. We are getting beaten back and down by Facebook, which has said we won't recommend political content anymore. Instagram, TikTok, all of them. OK, let's do this. If you want to be notified about this one day membership special, just get out our newsletter at davidpakman.com. Monday morning, you will get an email. It will be a beautiful thing. Let's take a quick break and then the show continues. All right, I'm going to play something for you that dozens of you sent to me. There was a very interesting, in some sense, episode of the Joe Rogan program the other day with an actor named Terrence Howard. I am going to play a clip for you during which Terrence Howard has a mental crash, the likes of which I don't remember seeing on any recent program of any kind, even considering Donald Trump's recent statements. But it is something that many people are hearing and saying this guy is absolutely brilliant. And this goes to a broader and important point that I write about in my forthcoming book, The Echo Machine. Yes, the title of the book has been changed. It is now called The Echo Machine. I'll tell you more about it when we get closer, which is that there are certain kinds of conversations that are absolutely impossible to have if we don't start from a common understanding of some basic facts. And this goes beyond politics. This is just really an extreme example. They're talking about the periodic table of elements. Terrence Howard has ideas about the periodic table. It relates to the noise that different elements make. He says that there are elements. By elements, I don't mean like elements of medical, the way Trump talks about. I'm talking about, you know, boron and newtonium and carbon. Some elements make bisexual noises. You're probably saying, David, what the are you talking about? But they make a bisexual noise. What are you like? Neon's gay? What are you talking about? That's exactly right. So I'm going to play this for you. It is difficult to listen to, but my main point here is thousands of people saw what I'm about to play for you and said, this guy's brilliant. This is why we can't just listen to the scientists, because this guy's brilliant. Let's dive into this. Get the popcorn out.
It's Walter Russell's periodic table that he put together. Now, you compare that to what we Mendeleev's periodic table. You'll compare Walter Russell's to it, and you'll see something completely different. It's unwinding.
Whoa.
It's unwinding.
All right. So he starts to explain this whole thing about the real periodic table. And then we get into what I would consider some of the wackiest stuff.
One substance. Now, the problem is the first thing that we're able to perceive is hydrogen. That's the first visible element, because before it is too dense for us to perceive it. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
But as you reach into the next octave, the carbon octave, and they call that a bisexual tone,
right?
Because the carbon has two tones to it. It has a negative side and a positive side, the part where lithium behaves.
Right. I mean, this is an interesting question. Which are the bisexual elements? Which are the gay elements? Are there lesbian elements? Do any elements transition? These are not things that are well understood by the scientific world, because they make no sense whatsoever. This is I showed this to chemistry people, and I showed this to mental health people. The chemistry people said to me, David, there is not even a vague overlap between this entire thing that Rogan's going, interesting, man, interesting. There's not even a vague overlap to reality from a chemistry standpoint. And the mental health people I showed it to said, this is very serious. This is, you might classify, without diagnosing, you might classify this as severe mental illness if someone presented in your office and said this stuff. Let's listen to a little bit more of it. And it only gets wackier. I mean, can it really get wackier than bisexual elements?
Lithium and oxygen. That's why it said, and what they've tried to keep from us. If you have, you want to break water into its component parts of hydrogen and oxygen, all you have to do is introduce beryllium, or
right,
the sound of beryllium. And oxygen will violently.
I once heard beryllium make a racist comment, and it almost caused a black hole.
Break away from any other thing, even hydrogen, to bond with that beryllium. And now you can have it just if with the frequency of it. And since the hydrogen is smaller.
So it just goes on like this. I mean, I have other clips. I don't even know if it makes sense to play a lot of these. But on every topic, it was 2.5 hours of this.
Time for a new laptop?
No, I don't know what's going on.
You know.
Oh, wait, sorry. This is the wrong one. Here we go.
The lie.
If you're right, so many people are wrong.
Everyone's wrong. Oh, well, the universe backs me up. And I have the proof of it. You have all these physicists that saying something different, but none of them have 97 patents. None of them have introduced a new form of flight with unlimited mid-air bonding.
So listen, you know, a lot of mental health professionals I showed this to said this often is like, you know what? I don't even want to get into it because it's just like we shouldn't be diagnosing. But the point is, this would be often like the way people speak when they are in and ultimately medicated by psychiatry, which I'm sure Terrence Howard has a vision of and an opinion about as well. You can't solve problems or figure things out with people who disagree about the fundamental nature of reality. Now, this is an extreme opinion, right? This is different than, hey, you know what? You think low taxes make more sense. I think higher taxes make more sense. In fact, often with those sorts of conversations, you can ultimately come to a shared understanding on 90% of stuff. And then the last 10% is just about opinion or ethics or what you think is right or what you think. So there actually is a lot of space to work with people with whom we disagree about conclusions to solve problems. That is actually possible. But in between that, like disagreements about tax policy, and this is a large area where you really can't deal with these people. A lot of MAGA is beyond just we disagree about what tax rates should be. It's beyond that. It's more here. And so when we talk about we've lost a shared basis, not only of what the facts are, but what count as facts, I assure you that on some of this stuff, Terrence Howard believes that he's talking about facts rather than assertions for which one probably couldn't even find evidence or couldn't even really describe what the evidence would be. I mean, listen, some of the elements make a bisexual noise. What? How would we even say, let's agree how we would determine the homosexuality or heterosexuality or bisexuality of the tone generated by oxygen, right? We wouldn't even get to that. And so the point here is to take this extreme example of a guy who sounds like he's really going through some stuff to say that if we are going to solve some of the biggest problems that we are dealing with right now and move forward as a species, we're going to need to get people together where at least we have a common and shared understanding of reality as a mere starting point, and even that won't guarantee success, which is pretty disappointing and scary to think about. Rudy Giuliani has finally been served the indictment papers. It happened at his own birthday party. Rudy Giuliani has really become the truest example of what happens when you sacrifice reason to become a Trump loyalist. Everything bad happens. Now, you might remember that last week I told you that they had not yet found the they hadn't yet turned over, submitted, preserved, that is the word I'm looking for. They hadn't yet served the indictment papers to Rudy Giuliani out of Arizona because they couldn't get access to him. They showed up at his house and security, the doormen didn't let them up to Rudy Giuliani's house. And it seemed as though maybe Rudy Giuliani was just going to run out the clock. But no, they found him at Rudy Giuliani's 80th birthday party. This is wild. NBC News says Rudy Giuliani is served indictment papers at his own birthday party after mocking Arizona Attorney General. This is, of course, in connection with the alleged conspiracy to overturn the 2020 election results. 2 hours earlier, Rudy Giuliani was taunting the Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays for failing to deliver the indictment. Just 2 hours later, at Rudy's birthday celebration in Palm Beach, Florida, for his 80th birthday, the indictment was delivered. Rudy had posted this on X. If Arizona authorities can't find me by tomorrow morning, they must dismiss the indictment. They must concede they can't count votes. And he subsequently deleted that after it was served. So the wheels of justice with Rudy Giuliani will start to turn. A legacy that has been ruined by criminal indictments and financial destruction and Rudy Giuliani's fall from grace. I mean, listen, America's mayor, not a guy I loved, but undeniable that in the aftermath of 9/11 and in general overseeing what is perceived to be crime reduction in New York City, if it's because of anything Rudy did is a different question. He was extremely favorably viewed even by many Democrats for a decade. And now a fall from grace, associating himself inextricably with Donald Trump, although Donald Trump has essentially abandoned him. It has all caught up with him at this point in time. And the fact that the indictment caught up with Rudy reminds us that no one is above the law, even those who believe themselves to be untouchable. So the underlying story here, the ongoing chaos, the legal troubles within Trump's inner circle, And there is a picture being painted here of disarray and scandal, even among Trump's closest allies, even among people he doesn't necessarily speak to anymore. So they got him. They got the indictment. Rudy has been formally served. We will now see what comes next. And honestly, I don't even know if the guy has any money left at this point. We're going to look now at something that took place on Fox News with Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Elise Stefanik is a big Trump suck-up, but she hasn't always been. And in fact, there are prior reports about her referring to Donald Trump previously as a whack job and insulting to women during the 2016 campaign. Well, Elise Stefanik went on Fox News yesterday, and Shannon Bream mentions to her, "You previously called Trump a whack job. You said he was insulting to women. But then now you're one of the big Trump supporters that there is." And Elise Stefanik did not like it. But there's a really interesting takeaway here, which I will explain in a moment. Take a look.
Leadership. I want to talk to you about the Veep stakes. Your name is continually thrown out as being on the short list, potentially, that this trip may be part of an audition. The New York Times had a lengthy piece where they talk about your transformation, they say, from somebody who was not supportive of President Trump to somebody who is full-throatedly supportive of him. They say you called him a whack job at one point. And they add this. In August 2015, she told a New York radio station that he was insulting to women and that his candidacy would hurt the party's efforts to attract female voters. According to her former friends, they continue, she thought Mr. Trump was too awful and ridiculous to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. Her revisionism still shocks those who have known her the longest and who remember the disdain she expressed for Mr. Trump back then. So the question is when, more importantly, why did you change your mind about President Trump?
Well, Shannon, it's a disgrace that you would quote the New York Times with nameless, faceless,
but they're
false
quoting your
sources.
Friends, so I'm giving you a chance
Shannon, they're not quoting my friends. Those names are not included because they are false smears. I was attacked.
To be fair, there are
Republican from
names.
No, Shannon,
of people.
Shannon,
just to be fair, there are a number of names.
This is fantastic.
Shannon, people who
Shannon,
are quoted in the
you.
Article.
Shannon, let me
people
correct you.
People can read
you.
It for themselves.
This is a false smear, and let me tell you a fact, Shannon. In 2016, I was attacked as the only elected Republican from the Northeast who voted for President Trump. Democrats spent hundreds of thousands of dollars attacking me for that fact. So to say that I didn't support him is just false. I have been proud to be one of the strongest supporters, going back to when he ran for 2016, which was when it was my first reelection to
right.
the House. I have strongly supported him. He is going to be the next president of the United States. The American people know that. My constituents know that.
So she really didn't like this. She really didn't like this. And it's not just Elise Stefanik, but it is many Republicans who originally expressed what I honestly think are their real views about Trump. They're disgusted by him. And then eventually they kiss the ring when he becomes the nominee, when he becomes the center of Republican power. This is not a serious political party at this point in time. And this incident really reminds us of the fear that Republicans have of crossing Trump. And it just reconfirms the influence that he has within the Republican Party. Yes, 40% of Republican primary voters voted against the guy. Many voters don't like him. But the elected officials, with very few exceptions, Romney, Kinzinger, you know, a few of these guys and gals, Liz Cheney and others, with very few exceptions, they don't want to be on the wrong side of what they perceive to be the power centers of the party. And they rightly perceive that to be Trump. The defensive reaction from Elise Stefanik is interesting because it's a damage control reaction. It's there are internal conflicts and insecurities here, but I need to be on the right side of my relationship with Donald Trump. And the power dynamics at play are serious. She knows she must conform to party lines, even if she has to contradict past statements. Or to put it a different way, she would rather be seen as a hypocrite who said one thing but probably didn't mean it, changed her mind. Now she's friends with Trump. She would rather be seen as a spineless hypocrite than to be on the wrong side of Trump at any given time. And there are many examples of this. I mean, listen, even Romney, who now is against Trump, Romney was very much against Trump. Then he thought, hey, he might make me Secretary of State. He went and had lunch with President-elect Trump in 2016. They had frog's legs and turtle soup or whoever knows the hell what. Then it seemed, actually, you're not going to get Secretary of State. And slowly Romney turned back against Trump. Lindsey Graham was a strong critic of Trump's in the 2016 primaries. He called him a race baiting, xenophobic, whatever. And then Lindsey Graham became one of the biggest supporters of Trump. Ted Cruz, Trump said Ted Cruz's wife is ugly. And Ted Cruz denounced him and eventually got behind him. So this is the theme here. The theme is they ultimately get in line because they don't want to be on the wrong side of power. And the power for now and for the foreseeable future within that party connects to Donald Trump. And Elise Stefanik, indignant that prior reporting about her with sourcing about things she allegedly said would be brought up on Fox News, no less. So, you know, we give him a little pat on the back at Fox News. At least Shannon Bream didn't back down. Good for her as far as that goes. Wildly triggering Elise Stefanik. Right wingers continue to insist that Joe Biden suffers from severe cognitive decline. He's too old to be president. He doesn't know what day it is or that he is even president of the United States. He doesn't know his kids' names. He doesn't know his wife's name. And they have been going over and over and over these talking points so many times over the last year.
The very first year he became president, it was obvious he was in rapid decline.
Brain dead Biden brings us our video of the day. During a campaign speech in Las Vegas, he regaled everyone with a story about sitting down with Francois Mitterrand just a few years ago. But Mitterrand has been dead since 1996. To be fair, that might be the same year Joe lost consciousness.
And we have a man who's absolutely the worst president in the history of our country. He can't put two sentences together.
Now, what's going on here is that Republicans would prefer not to debate the substance of Joe Biden's extraordinary policy achievements. And they would prefer not to deal with the fact that their presumptive nominee is facing 88 criminal charges. So instead, they are running with Biden's demented, desperately hoping that it will be enough to distract Americans from what actually matters. Now, setting aside that Biden and Trump are essentially the same age, there are well-documented signs of Trump exhibiting symptoms of gross dementia, as Dr. John Gartner and Dr. Harry Siegel have explained on our show. But it's not just Dr. John Gartner and Dr. Harry Siegel. Dozens of former cabinet officials for Donald Trump have come forward to express concerns that Trump is unfit to serve as president of the United States for a second term. Start with Mark Milley, Donald Trump's former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, responding to Trump's suggestion that Milley should be put to death. Milley went after Trump as the wannabe dictator that he is.
We don't take an oath to a country. We don't take an oath to a tribe. We don't take an oath to a religion. We don't take an oath to a king or a queen or to a tyrant or a dictator. And we don't take an oath to a wannabe dictator.
Joe Biden's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Charles Q. Brown, has not expressed any concerns about President Joe Biden. William Barr served as Donald Trump's attorney general. In 2023, he called Trump a consummate narcissist.
He is a consummate narcissist, and he constantly engages in reckless conduct that puts his political followers at risk and the conservative and Republican agenda at risk.
Would he put the country at risk if he was in the White House again?
He will always put his own interests and gratifying his own ego ahead of everything else, including the country's interests. There's no question about it. This is a perfect example of that. He's like, you know, he's like a defiant nine-year-old kid who's always pushing the glass toward the edge of the table, defying his parents to stop him from doing it. It's a means of self-assertion and exerting his dominance over other people. And he's a very petty individual who will always put his interests ahead of the country's.
Barr has also referred to Donald Trump as despicable.
To me, it's amazing that you read through the indictment and his behavior in that indictment, and it's nauseating. It's despicable behavior, whether it's criminal or not. Someone who engaged in that kind of bullying about a process that is fundamental to our system and to our self-government shouldn't be anywhere near the Oval Office.
Despite these harsh words, Barr recently came forward to confirm he will vote for Trump in November, proving what we already knew. He is a doormat of a man.
So just to be clear, you're voting for someone who you believe tried to subvert the peaceful transfer of power, that can't even achieve his own policies, that lied about the election even after his attorney general told him that the election wasn't stolen. And as the former chief law enforcement in this country, you're going to vote for someone who is facing 88 criminal counts.
Well, look, the 88 criminal counts, a lot of those are, in my, and I've said,
even if 10 of them are accurate.
The answer to the question is yes. I'm supporting the Republican ticket.
But can you say that you're voting for Donald Trump? Because you're not saying his name. You just say you're supporting the Republican ticket.
I've said, as between Biden and Trump, I will vote for Trump.
But this doesn't diminish the significance of his previous condemnations of the guy he worked for. On the other hand, Joe Biden's Attorney General Merrick Garland has not called Biden a consummate narcissist, nor has he expressed any concerns about Biden as president. We then come to John Bolton, Donald Trump's national security advisor at one point. Bolton has characterized Trump as stunningly uninformed.
You wrote the president was not just uninformed, but stunningly uninformed. Can you give us some examples?
Well, there were things that we went over again and again and again that just didn't seem to sink in, like why was the Korean Peninsula partitioned in 1945 at the end of World War II, and what did that lead to, and how did we get to that point?
You say in the book that Trump asked General John Kelly if Finland was part of Russia.
He said those things, absolutely. And when you're dealing with somebody who asks questions like that, it's very hard to know how to proceed.
Joe Biden's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, has never referred to Biden as stunningly uninformed and has not blown the whistle about any aspect of Joe Biden. We then come to Mike Pence, Trump's very own former vice president, who says that Trump asked him to put Trump over the American Constitution.
President Trump was wrong. He was wrong then. He's wrong now. I had no right to overturn the election. And more and more Americans are coming up to me every day and recognizing that. And for my part, I'm running for president in part because, frankly, President Trump asked me to put him over the Constitution that day. But I chose the Constitution, and I always will.
He has also now said that he will not endorse Donald Trump.
It should come as no surprise that I will not be endorsing Donald Trump this year.
Joe Biden's vice president, Kamala Harris, has never said that Biden asked her to put him over the Constitution. Now, let me be very clear. This is not an exhaustive list. There are dozens of other examples of former high-level Trump administration officials who have since come forward to say he is dangerous and he is unfit to serve. It is an extraordinarily long list, and it ranges from James Mattis and Mark Esper. We mentioned Mark Milley, Trump's first Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, Nikki Haley, Chris Christie, H.R. McMaster, John Kelly, Mick Mulvaney. I could go on and on and on. There is a report from the Brookings Institution that shows that Trump's rate of turnover was 92%, shattering historical records. So the first question is, how do the Trump supporters contend with this? Because even those who support Trump would have to admit that at the very least, he's a terrible judge of character, given that so many of his own former associates turned against him. But more importantly, we have to think about the flip side. If any of the allegations about Joe Biden were true, Biden's dementia, Biden's not really running anything. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know who Jill Biden is. He doesn't know anything. He can't do anything. If it were true that he was just a shell of a person doing nothing and knowing nothing, why has there not been a single person from Joe Biden's inner circle, or even like the next circle around that, that has blown the whistle confirming even a single one of these allegations? Trump has boasted he only hires top people and would fill his administration with the best, most serious people. If that's true, I guess we should listen to what Trump's former hires have said and heed their warning. Don't reelect Trump in 2024. Failed former President Donald Trump spoke to the National Rifle Association convention the other day. Already just outrageous that he would even speak to that group, but a really scary moment. We've never seen this happen to Trump before. Trump appeared to freeze on stage for 35 seconds. When the QAnon music started, Trump froze and he seemed completely unable to speak. Some people reacted by saying he's doing it for effect. He has never frozen for 35 seconds. This has not been extended or exaggerated in any way. You'll hear the music start and Trump freezes, some calling it a terrifying cognitive moment.
Nation in the history of the world.
Thank you.
and they...
Oh, God. Even Mitch McConnell only froze a few seconds. And for people suggesting that Trump's teleprompter was glitching, regular Trump, when his teleprompter glitches, which, of course, you can see teleprompter there. Biden's bad for using a prompter. Obama was bad. Trump's using a teleprompter. For those who were suggesting it was glitching, normal Trump wouldn't do nothing for 35 seconds. He would rant about the teleprompter or he would rant about something else. This is something very strange. It's not what happened to Mitch McConnell, but is very strange. And it got stranger, I have to tell you. Trump seemed confused at one point and was referring to himself in the third person while reading the prompter. And he said, says President Trump. This is really, really bad.
Dominant again. Yes, oh yes, and quickly, says President Trump. Yes, oh yes, and quickly.
Again, what is he reading notes? Where is he saying, says President Trump? Where is he getting that from? It doesn't make any sense. Now, more substantively and terrifyingly, Trump says he is going to appoint really young extreme MAGA judges if he becomes president. This is what I've been trying to tell you.
Then I called up my people and I said, I have a guy from New York who's an incredible lawyer. He's got the right temperament. He'd be a really great judge. Oh, good, sir. How old is he? I said, he's 69, sir. So he's going to be there for 2, 3, 4 years. We like people in their 30s, so they're there for 50 years or 40 years. We don't want. And as soon as they said that, I realized, yeah. They're...
So listen, this is what I've been explaining. To Trump, what he did with the Supreme Court in his first term and the eventual overturning of Roe v. Wade is only the beginning. And if Trump gets 4 more years, he's going to go out and find 20 something year old judges to stuff into the judiciary. They will block progress for decades. Terrifying. Yet another reason to make sure this guy doesn't get another 4 years. Trump wildly suggested that he's healthier and a better physical specimen than former President Obama.
And before I introduce him, I just want to say, when he was the doctor at the White House, they asked him, who's healthier? Who's a better physical specimen? Is it Trump or is it Obama? And he said, it's not even close. It's Donald Trump, not even close.
Does anyone believe that?
Obama.
Very, very difficult to believe. And then lastly, continuing with his dictatorial wet dream fantasy, Trump suggesting 2 or 3 terms. What do people think?
FDR, 16 years, almost 16 years. He was 4 term. I don't know. Are we going to be considered 3 term or 2 term? You tell me. Ronnie, what do you think?
Now, it's hard to tell whether Trump is confused or speaking out his dictatorial dreams or just referring to the idea that he's currently in his second term, or maybe it's alluding to the idea that Trump actually won in 2020, which he didn't, meaning he won in his mind, where he is a legend. He won in 2016, 2020, and he might win in 2024. Therefore, in a sense, it would be his third term, but only the second one he serves. With Trump, it's increasingly difficult to know when is he confused, when is he lying, and when is he just ignorant of facts. And sometimes the answer is yes to all three. So a disastrous, scary cognitive situation in Dallas at the NRA convention. And it was almost worse in Minnesota. After saying previously that if he loses Minnesota, he will never go back to the state, and losing Minnesota and going back to the state and claiming he actually won it, Donald Trump gave a speech in St. Paul over the weekend, and he almost fell off the stage. He, listen, I don't really know where to start with this stuff, but let's start with Trump saying he wants to debate Biden, but he needs Biden to be drug tested. Let's start there.
No, I have fake tappers. They said, I just want to debate this guy, but, you know, and I'm going to demand a drug test, too, by the way. I am. No, I really am. I don't want him coming in like the State of the Union. He was high as a kite. I said, is that Joe up there? A beautiful room.
There is, of course, no evidence that Joe Biden was high as a kite during the State of the Union. Earlier in the show, we already spoke about what could you even take and what would the effects be. And then moments later, Trump almost fell down. It's you know, you can't write this stuff. He'll suggest Biden's on drugs because he can barely stand up. And then Trump almost falls down. And then he blames, I guess, whoever set up the lectern. And you know the reason this is happening, right? It's because Trump puts his full weight on these lecterns.
Terrible. But Americans are not struggling. You know, this is the worst platform. Who put this stage up here? This is the worst. The frickin' place is falling down. I notice it keeps tilting further left. Like too many other things.
All right. So Trump almost falling down and off the stage completely, which would have been a wild, wild situation. Trump made a strange claim during his speech in Minneapolis and in St. Paul, rather, where he said that if it weren't for him having been president for 4 years, Minneapolis would not exist today, which is a really crazy thing to suggest. Let's listen.
If you didn't have me as president, you wouldn't have Minneapolis today, and you wouldn't have had a couple of other cities that we saved, or little beautiful areas that we saved. We saved them for you. But what?
Yep. Thanks to Trump, Minneapolis exists today. Donald Trump not yet ready to retire the anti-transgender weightlifting routine at the rally, where he pretends to be. I always forget whether he's referring to a trans or non-trans weightlifter when he does this routine, but it's pretty despicable regardless.
Mom, I don't know, Mom. This is a heavy sucker. Oh, Mom, I can't do it.
The former president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. And then lastly, a dump of a word salad where Trump says, we are going to withhold the powers and the beauty of our Second Amendment. I thought he liked the Second Amendment. Why on earth would he withhold it from people? This is just a word salad Trump's lost in the teleprompter.
I will fully uphold our great but very under siege Second Amendment. We're going to withhold the powers and the beauty of our Second Amendment. We need our Second Amendment probably more than we've ever needed it before. It's under siege. Tomorrow I go to Texas. I go to Dallas and I'm speaking before the NRA. There's a rumor,
which is, of course, disgusting. So I don't know what that means. Trump will withhold the beauty of the Second Amendment. So quite a weekend. Trump first freezing for 35 seconds and also at a different speech, almost falling off the stage. But it's Biden that needs to be drug tested before their debate. Pretty wild stuff. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the latest going on legally. There's a very interesting article with the opinion from an attorney that Donald Trump has no plausible response to Michael Cohen's evidence presented at his criminal trial. And thus, that is why Donald Trump is not going to be testifying at trial in his own defense. So let's talk through this a little bit. As a reminder, this is the New York hush money trial. Michael Cohen did testify under oath and made a number of very damaging assertions about Donald Trump with regard to the crimes he's accused of. The out-of-court denials have insisted that Michael Cohen is just a liar. Trump has insisted many times that he will testify. There is every reason to believe that Trump is not going to testify because he never does. And one of the main reasons is that there is no plausible alternative theory to explain away the testimony of Michael Cohen, not to mention that Donald Trump would be under oath and it would be risky to show up and simply lie. So what are we talking about here? One of the possibilities, if you believe Michael Cohen is making up the entire story, is you put Trump on the stand and you have him tell a different version of events, which directly contradicts the assertions made by Michael Cohen. There are a couple problems with that. Number one, Trump testifying at all is risky because he thinks he's smarter than everybody and he can lie without anybody noticing. But then Trump would be subject to cross-examination. And when the prosecutors get up there and they expose Trump's lying about everything, it's a real problem for him. And then more generically, you can argue it would not be a great thing for Trump to just be lying uncontrollably under oath. So, of course, it is going to be a situation where Trump ends up not testifying. And they don't even have an alternative theory of events. If they had an alternative theory of events, rather than a case built simply on trying to suggest the prosecution's witnesses are dishonest, they could put forward a different version of events. Court is going on right now. We'll see if this happens, but the expectation is that the defense is going to rest without even putting forward any detailed alternative explanation of events, because they don't actually have one. So my expectation here is that Trump ultimately will be found guilty here if you compare his alleged actions as told by witnesses under oath with the law. It seems that he committed a crime. He will be found guilty, but the sentence will be almost nothing. It'll probably be within sentencing guidelines, but it'll be at the absolute lightest end. It'll be some kind of slap on the wrist to those of us who have been following the blatant and scofflaw style criminality of this guy. And then we will move on to the next criminal trial and see if there will be any real consequences here. So this is interesting in terms of future cases in the following sense. This case showcases Trump's legal vulnerabilities, which are he doesn't really have alternative explanations for what it was that he did. And if you have mounting evidence, and I don't even think this is the most powerful case against Trump, Georgia will be an interesting one. If you have mountains of evidence against Trump and Trump's defense is only trying to impeach witnesses and the motivations of the prosecutors, and he can't provide any alternative storyline, it's going to get pretty difficult for a jury to acquit him. And so this is a signal about the potential liabilities of this approach for Trump going forward. So let's see if the defense rests. But I would bet any amount of money that Trump doesn't testify. We have a voicemail number. That number is 219-2-DAVID-P. Here's a very strange call from a guy who believes that I am dyeing my hair. Wow.
Hey, David, why do you have such a weird hair dye? Like, are you that insecure? Like, why are you dyeing your hair jet black? It doesn't match your skin color. It doesn't match your beard. And it's just f-ing cringe. Like, why? Like, you look like a fucking weirdo. Or at best, like, you have the biggest insecurities in the world. So I would like you to address, like, your terrible hair dye.
Please.
On your podcast, because it looks atrocious.
Well, listen, this is not about hair dye. This is about lighting. And I have never dyed my hair. The allegation that it's jet black is wrong. And if I move around, as you can see, it's actually not even really dark, dark brown. I think it's just the lighting. And as far as not matching my beard, it matches my beard. It's just my beard is so pathetically thin that it looks like the beard is lighter. But listen, I'll tell you right now, if my hair just went gray right now at my current age, I absolutely would dye it. I don't want to have gray hair right now. But fortunately, it's not something that I'm dealing with. And we've had these things over the years where there was a while where two people were writing in regularly saying, David, I can tell that you're drinking and that you're drinking before getting on the show. I can see that your eyes are glassy. And of course, at the time I said, listen, I have like at the most one drink a week. And then it's David, you know, a lot of people who are alcoholics, they denial is the first step. So there was the glassy-eyed drinking allegations. There were the, David, you really seem to be struggling with drugs right now. I can tell from your red eyes. These are mostly lighting and my skin just, you know, I don't know. Like my eyes sometimes like look red, I guess. I don't know. So I will alert you when I start dyeing my hair. Rest assured. But it is not something that is going on at this point in time. Monday, Memorial Day, it is the one and only single day membership drive of the year. We will email everyone with a very special discount code to sign up on this very special day, the Memorial Day membership discount. Get on my mailing list at davidpakman.com to be notified Monday morning. It's going to be a beautiful thing. We've got a great bonus show for you today. We will talk about the Iranian president being killed in a helicopter crash. Wild story. We'll talk about Paul Pelosi's attacker getting sentenced to 30 years in prison and so much more. All of those stories on today's bonus show. Sign up at joinpakman.com to get instant access. Well, after a relative quiet on the debate front, all of a sudden, apparently Joe Biden and failed former President Donald Trump will be having two debates. Joe Biden challenging Trump to debates in a video released on Twitter, combined with apparently some kind of further communication with specific date proposals. And Donald Trump seemingly accepting it on Truth Social. Now, we'll talk about who stands to gain the most and who stands to lose the most from debate. But I'll tell you, even though I think the format of these debates does not really lend itself to deep policy discussion, I would still prefer debates to no debates. And we'll talk about that in a moment as well. President Joe Biden putting out the following video and saying to Donald Trump, let's just do it. Let's stop pretending that you want to and I don't and whatever. Let's just do it.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. Since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Free on Wednesdays, of course, because Donald Trump is embroiled in a criminal trial Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. And they have Wednesday off, a day that Donald Trump plays a lot of golf, apparently. So what do we have here? We have Donald Trump apparently accepting this. Trump taking to his platform Truth Social. Oh, boy, I messed up the timing.
Truth Central.
There it is. And saying, quote, crooked Joe Biden is the worst debater I have ever faced. He can't put two sentences together. Crooked is also the worst president in the history of the United States by far. It's time for a debate so that he can explain to the American people his highly destructive open border policy, new and ridiculous electric vehicle mandates, the allowance of crushing inflation, high taxes, and his really weak foreign policy, which is allowing the world to catch on fire. I am ready and willing, that's willing with a capital W, to debate Crooked Joe at the two proposed times in June and September. I would strongly recommend more than two debates and for excitement purposes, a very large venue. Although Biden is supposedly afraid of crowds, that's only because he doesn't get them. Just tell me when, I'll be there. Quote, let's get ready to capital R rumble. 3 exclamation points. Oh, boy, there's exclamation points all over this thing. So CNN reporting, Biden challenges Trump to two debates under special conditions. Republican accepts. Now, of course, the special conditions aren't that special. It's that the Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debates organized them, which is what Trump has been trying to resist for a while now, arguing, oh, they're so unfair. Everybody's biased against me. It's just all terrible. But we apparently are going to be getting two debates late June, at least presumably after the current Trump criminal trial concludes and before any other criminal trial will start based on what we know right now. Before the conventions. And then, of course, in September, very, very close to the election. So who benefits more from debate? There's a couple different things going on here. First of all, the setting of very low expectations for Joe Biden has happened before, and I believe it has helped Joe Biden. In other words, Trump for years now, and this goes back to 2020, has been setting the expectations that Biden essentially doesn't know what's going on and won't be able to speak and has no clue. And then Biden shows up and he does fine. They're not mind-blowing debates. He's not the prototype of vigor and effervescence. Biden isn't, but he does fine. The expectations were set very low when Biden debated Bernie Sanders in 2020 and he did fine. And the expectations were low when Biden debated Trump in 2020 and it was fine. So in that sense, Biden potentially benefits from people going in thinking Biden might soil himself and then Biden does completely fine. So that helps Joe Biden. Now, there's another aspect to this, which has to do with, do debates convince people or are they essentially viewers tuning in to see whoever is their candidate hopefully do well and debate doesn't really have the potential to change minds? I think it mostly doesn't have the potential to change minds, particularly when we're talking about late June and September.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We reject the ICC's application for arrest warrants against Israeli leaders.
course may imply there is no equivalence between Israel and Hamas.
President Biden condemns the International Criminal Court's decision to pursue arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Yoav Gallant on war crimes charges over Gaza. We'll speak to war crimes prosecutor Reed Brody, and we'll be joined by renowned Israeli historian Ilan Pape. On a trip to the United States last week, Professor Pape was interrogated for 2 hours by federal agents upon arrival at Detroit Airport about his political views on Gaza, Hamas, and Israel. But first, we'll be joined by the first Jewish appointee to resign from the Biden administration over Gaza.
So I'm an American Jew, and I resigned because I could no longer serve at the pleasure of the president while he's supporting and enabling and funding the genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. Not only is it wrong, but it makes myself and my community here and in Israel less safe.
Lily Greenberg-Call was a special assistant to the chief of staff at the Department of Interior. She chose May 15th, the anniversary of the Nakba, to resign. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Mimi Goodman. In Gaza, Israeli air attacks in the north of the Gaza Strip have killed at least 18 Palestinians in Jabalia and Beit Lahia. Airstrikes also killed at least 5 people today in the southern city of Rafah. The Gaza Health Ministry says at least 85 Palestinians have been killed over the past day, with another 228 wounded. The continued Israeli attacks come a day after the International Criminal Court announced it's seeking arrest warrants for alleged war crimes committed by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and 3 leaders of Hamas. President Biden condemned the move by the ICC Monday as he spoke at a White House event for Jewish American Heritage Month.
Let me be clear. We reject the ICC's application for arrest warrants against Israeli leaders. Whatever these warrants may imply, there is no equivalence between Israel and Hamas. And it's clear Israel wants to do all it can to ensure civilian protection.
Republicans say they're considering sanctions against the International Criminal Court. Meanwhile, independent Senator Bernie Sanders backed the actions by the ICC, saying, quote, it's imperative the global community uphold international law. Without these standards of decency and morality, this planet may rapidly descend into anarchy, never-ending wars and barbarism, he said. International reactions to the news has been mixed. France, a close ally of Israel, said it supports the ICC's, quote, independence and the fight against impunity in all situations, unquote. Palestinian officials have welcomed the possible arrest warrants while condemning the double standards against Palestinians resisting Israeli occupation. Displaced Palestinians in Rafah weighed in on the decision.
My opinion about the ICC decision is that they've equated the victim with the executioner. They made victim and executioner equal. The criminal, Netanyahu and Gantz, who have killed the people of Palestine for more than 75 years, equal to the Palestinians who have resisted and demanded their rights. The homeland is our right, and we must demand our right.
Meanwhile, the Guardian's reporting Israeli soldiers have been tipping off extremist settlers on the location of aid trucks headed to Gaza, allowing far-right groups to block and vandalize the humanitarian convoys. Deadly Israeli